Om Shanti. There was a man who had desires larger than life. He wanted to earn a lot of money, but whatever he tried, he failed. No matter what he was doing, things were going against the grain with him. And once it so happened that he saw a spiritual discourse going on, and he went and sat there. In the course of the discourse, he underwent some transformation within, and he realized the futility of his search, and he decided to become the disciple of that saint. And he started living the spiritual life. And as he advanced in his spiritual life, he became more and more detached. He had very substantial progress in spirituality, and each day his meditation was becoming deeper and deeper. Once he was sitting in meditation for a very long time, and he opened his eyes, and suddenly he saw that God is standing in front of him. And God is asking, "What do you want? I have come to give you." He said, "O Lord, when I wanted many things, you never gave. Now I don't want anything. Now you have come to give me." And he says, "Now I don't want anything." But God says, "I see that your sense of desire has gone. And I know that you don't want anything, but I have still come to give you something, so you have to ask me for something." The man said, "I really don't want anything." God said, "But ask something, I'll give you." So the man thought for a moment and he said, "Okay, if you want to give me something, then give me such power, such healing power in my touch, that whomsoever I touch, that person is rid of his illness. And whenever I touch any dried up tree or leaves, they should come back to life." So he puts forth his desire. But then at the very next moment he thinks for a while, and again comes up with another proposal. He said, "Just wait. I want to make little modification in my desire." He says, "Definitely, whomsoever I would touch, that person should get okay. But then, I don't want my touch to do that. I want my shadow to do it. If I am walking, and if my shadow falls on somebody, that person should get healed. If I am walking somewhere and there is a parched up forest, by my shadow, that forest should turn into garden, into greenery. If I am going by a dried up river, that river should again have water in it. If I touched a dried up tree, that tree should come back to life by my shadow, not by my touch." So God says, "But why? Why you want to do that? Don't you believe the power of touch?" He says, "If I touch things and perform all these miracles, then people will get to know about it. I want to do good things. I want to serve. But I don't want people to know about it. That's why I will pass by and my shadows should heal, not me." So this is a beautiful story, maybe imaginary, but in some parts of this planet Earth, This story is named by the known by the name Holy Shadow. Who is that person? Nobody knows. But people remember only the Holy Shadow. It is the Holy Shadow that cures, that heals, that restores things back to normalcy. Nobody knows the name of the person, and that was his desire. Because he knew the different sins a person does when this dragon of desire enters the heart. So that's why he made the wish, he had made the wish that I should do good, but people should not know it. My shadow should do everything. So it's the Holy Shadow. Desires, they are very mischievous. Worldly desires, the more you chase them, the more they make you restless, and you don't get anything in return. Baba compared desire to the shadow. Last yesterday's Murli, Baba said, desire is like a shadow. You run after it, it runs further away from you. You turn your back and start moving towards sun, and desire will follow you. So run after the imperishable attainments, and all these perishable attainments, perishable desires of the world would finish. The more we run after the imperishable, the more our quest is for the eternal. Our desire for the perishable, our desire for the ephemeral, for the transitory things of this world, for the so-called happiness of this world will go away, and we will progress towards higher goal. So Baba was talking with double foreigner groups. There were two groups. And this was a beautiful thing Baba said. Don't follow the worldly desires. They are dangerous. If you at all want to have spiritual desires to go up, to progress, to get the imperishable attainments. But if you go after worldly things, worldly material things, you will end up chasing and chasing and chasing. It is said that a religious mind is a non-ambitious mind. A religious mind is a non-ambitious mind. And when it is said ambition, it means worldly desires, worldly careers, worldly goals, worldly attainments, perishable things of the world, perishable relationships of the world. While a religious mind is a non-ambitious mind. If you have worldly ambitions, you have spiritual things to do. You can't do both things. You cannot have two things in one cup. World and God. You cannot have two things. Worldly desires and spiritual progress in one cup. You have to decide what I want. World or God. A very rich man comes unto Jesus Christ and says unto him, Lord, I want to follow you. Jesus says, go and sell off whatever you have amongst the poor and then come and follow me. When he listens to that, he withdraws back. Jesus says, whatever you have, whatever wealth, whatever money, go and give it to, hand over to the poor. And that man withdraws. This I can't do. I am going to follow you right now. Jesus says, no. First go and sell off everything you have. And he goes away. And then that statement comes in Bible. It's possible for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So, you cannot serve two masters, God and Mammon. Mammon means money. That's in Bible. You cannot serve two masters, God and Mammon. So, there are two groups here, and Baba is talking with these two groups. So we'll discuss about these two things. First group, Baba is beginning with fortune, Bhagya. Baba said, you have come to the land of fortune, you have come to the land of peace, you have come to the land where you draw the line of fortune and how fortunate you are. So the first group, personal meeting, Baba is reminding us of our fortune, that this Madhuban is the land of peace. Madhuban is the land of fortune. It is here that the bestower of fortune has come. It is his land, it is his place. And you can draw your line of fortune as much as possible. So the first thing is about fortune. The second thing is about desires. As I said, desires are like shadows. Don't follow them. Desires, any desires, worldly desires, sensual desires, all these things, all sensual desires, they make you addict. Worldly enjoyments have got four defects. Worldly enjoyments have got many defects, but four are main. First, they are temporary. All worldly enjoyments are temporary. All sense enjoyments are temporary. Second, they are very deceptive. They deceive you. It appears that they will give happiness, but they end up in sorrow and suffering and frustration. Third, worldly desires are illusory. They are like optical illusion or mirage. Mrigamarichika. Fourth, worldly desires, worldly enjoyments, sense gratification, they are all imaginary. They all exist in imagination. Sensual fantasies, they are not actually, really, they are not that much enjoyable. But from a distance, you feel that there is a lot of enjoyment in that. But when you go near and taste it actually, you come up with frustration. There was a study in America which came to the conclusion that those people who indulge in lust, they suffer from severe migraine for next 3 days. Or severe headaches and frustration and a sort of depression and a bit of repentance. But then after 3-4 days, they somehow convince themselves, and after a few more days, the same urge and the same indulgence. Even they know that this is going to cause me severe headache, severe attacks and episodic migraine. And yet, they are caught up. It's an addiction. Even while doing it, they know it should not be done. Yet, addiction gets the better of them. So all worldly enjoyments are temporary. All worldly enjoyments are addictive in nature. They are illusory, they are imaginary. And one more, small bit of enjoyment is associated with pound full of sorrow. Small enjoyment, penny of enjoyment comes with a pound of sorrow. That's the nature of worldly enjoyments. And that's why the whole world is caught, trapped, ensnared. Though every man knows that I shouldn't do this, yet and yet. This is a very mysterious trap. So, first of all, Baba is talking about fortune, bhagya. Second, he talked about these desires. And third, he talked about tyag. Tyag is renunciation. In renunciation is the bhagya. The more the renunciation, the more is the fortune. Mahatma Gandhi has said somewhere in his autobiography that a person who has gradually renounced many enjoyments of this world would come to a state where he will require very less things of this world. He will not require many things for his survival. Very, very less things. And he will be in the supreme stage of bliss. The more you renounce, the more happy you become. Tena tatvena bhugnita. Enjoyment. Things, enjoy the things of this world by giving them up. That's a paradoxical statement. How do you enjoy the world? By giving up the enjoyments of the world. That is the best way to enjoy the things of the world. So that's the third point. Renunciation and bhagya. So this is the first group. Now coming to the second group. Second group, Baba is talking about all double foreigner children have the desire to bring VIP to Baba, VIPs to Baba, and to reveal Baba. And Baba has mentioned a very good thing about service. Very powerful statements about service. Service is an instrument for your self-progress. The more you serve others, automatically your own self-progress is hidden in service of others. And one more thing about stage. Some children say that, Baba, my stage is not very good. Let me first have a very powerful, immovable, unshakable stage, and then I will begin my service part. Baba said, no. Serve wherever you are. Because in serving only, Baba will fill you with courage. Service will create stage. Somebody thinks that I have done a lot of sins, I should not serve, but let me do yoga and burn my sins and then I will begin my service. Service is an act of repentance. Service will elevate the stage. Serving others is not serving others, it is to serve oneself. We are serving ourselves when we serve others. So Svavunnati is hidden in serving others. Self-service is hidden. So that's what Baba said. Don't wait for your stage to come. You will get stage, powerful stage only by serving. So serving. That's a very important thing. There's no institution in the world which has got this fourth subject. Because first of all, they don't have true knowledge, and that's why whatever service they are doing, that's not the true service. We have first three subjects of Jnana and Yoga and Dharana, and then fourth subject is service. Actually, fourth subject is the result of first three. When first three are present, automatically they will be revealed in the form of fourth. So fourth is not, should not be the effort. Fourth is not the effort, it is the result of first three. And when first three are not there and still somebody is serving, such service will cause conflicts. Because there is no Jnana and there is no Yoga and there are no Dharanas. So simply doing service is useless. Service, as I said, should be the result, aftermath. Service is the ramification of first three, is the result or the easy result of first three. So Baba said, keep on serving, and automatically your stage would be built up. So that's the second thing in the second group. Then if you serve with true heart, your voice and your voice has authority, that will touch the heart. Anything that comes from the heart goes and touches the heart. Anything that comes from the heart goes and touches Dilaram's, Baba's heart. So that should come from the heart. So service should be done not merely a lip service, but it should come out, pour out from the very core of the being. And the last point, during service, if obstacles come, you should think of them as paper tiger. Think of them as paper tiger or paper mountain, in one other Murli Baba had said. So all the obstacles which are coming, don't get afraid. Think that they are paper tiger, or they have come to help me progress. They have come to help me go ahead. My speed will increase. Had they not been there, I would have remained there only with little experience. The more the obstacles, the better it is. There's an English poet who has written, "Don't bring me good news." He says, "Don't bring me good news. Bring me bad news. Good news weakens me." He says, "Bring me bad news. Tell me what has happened. Oh, okay, my shop has been looted by jewel. There is a theft in my shop. Okay, that's a good news. Okay, my wife has run away with somebody. Okay, that's good." He says, "Don't bring me good news. Bring me bad news. Bad news strengthens me. Good news weakens me." And that is one perspective of life. So think of obstacle as paper tiger. Don't get afraid of them. Why it has come? Why it comes to me only? Why other people are so happy here? Why never no Maya comes to them? The more the responsibility you have, the more the paper you have to face. The lesser the responsibility somebody has, lesser paper. No responsibility. Live life with ease. Nobody is coming and blaming you. But the more the responsibility, the more the blames. And the more the blames, the more the experience you get and more powerful you become. So don't. So Baba is changing, telling us to change our mode of thinking. If obstacle is coming, think of it as paper tiger. I cannot get afraid by all this papery, flimsy, artificial, weaker, thinner things of life. They are petty things. They cannot affect me. They cannot touch me also. So this is the second group. So this was in short about the second part of the Murli, talking personal meat. So Baba first of all described the fortune of the children. Then he talked about desires and the nature of desires. Actually, one should keep on studying. What are the desires that are coming in my heart? Rather than opposing them, resisting them, saying, thinking that, oh, this is against Srimad. Let them come. Analyze them. See them. Write them down. Okay, these are also the desires I had. On one side, I say I don't have any desires. On the other side, I have all these desires in my heart. Rather than to suffer from suppression of desire, it is better to accept that I have this desire. Though this is a worldly and sensual desire, I accept it. Now, let me find out the way to get rid of it. So, acceptance of desire is must. So, Baba talked about desires and compared it with shadows. Third, he talked about renunciation. Fourth, he talked about service. How service is important, selfless service is important, and serving with the heart that reaches Bab Dada's heart. And last, if obstacle come in your service, don't think them as obstacle, don't think them as hindrance. In fact, they have come to make you go ahead. They have come to fasten your speed. And think of them as airy nothing. Think of them as paper tiger. One of the characters of Shakespeare says, where it is? And the answer is, it has vanished into airy nothing. So this is airy nothing. It doesn't affect me in the least. So that's in short about yesterday's Murli personal meeting with double foreigners. Om Shanti.